Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Twitter question brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Do you believe the AJ situation is fixable? 82.1% say yes. Joining us to talk about it and the rest of the team, believe it or not, there is another player. There's several more players on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Like 52 other players on the team.
Is Elliot Shore Parks, Tuesdays with Elliot. Man, Monday and a Tuesday is a lot of Elliot for me.
That's what my wife says.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Never.
It was funny. Vic Fangio sits down today for his press conference, and the first thing he says is magic number is 11, right? Talking about the Phillies.
Yep.
But I tweeted out, and everybody's like, oh, AJ. Because number,
oh,
yeah.
So 11. That is not what he was talking about.
There might be other players on the team, but there's only ever one player on the mind.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Neither did I.
I thought baseball immediately, too.
I even tagged the high hopes pot, but still people were like, you know, oh, AJ.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Vic's a Phillies guy.
Oh, he's a big time Phillies guy.
Vic's a Phillies guy, yeah. What do you think he's going to be doing Thursday night, potentially, when it's Eagles versus Giants and Phillies versus Dodgers?
A distracted Vic?
Yeah, that's an over in that one.
Two screens?
Yeah.
The over in that one.
Dude, what if there's a camera pan to where the booth he's in?
Yeah.
And the Phillies are in a little corner of the iPad.
He's going to be like, you know what, let's give Christian Parker a chance here. You know, he's a next DC, let's see how he could do.
By the way, that camera on Vic always just has the worst angle on Vic Fangio. Yeah, it is really tough.
It's like Vic, Jack with the shorts, you know, sometimes the angle doesn't.
That was awful.
Kind of like when Seltzer's at home.
Yeah. The high hopes when Seltzer's at home. Oh, it's a lot of Seltzer on that camera.
Very close to the camera.
Looks like Hitch. And
All right, Elliot.
So anyway,
I don't know, because I only saw it online. I don't know if you said it or if you tweeted it, but whether you said it on CBS3 or you tweeted it, but you said that the AJ Bible verse tweet, that you are confident it doesn't have anything to do with Kevin Petullo or Nick Sirianni.
Correct.
Why are you confident?
Because I know they have a great relationship, and I've talked to AJ, not since the tweet, to be clear, but in my years covering AJ, I've talked to him about Nick and Kevin Petullo. He always talks highly of them. I know that Nick defends AJ at every corner, you know, every chance he gets. And also, for what it's worth, the first part of the Bible verse talks about not being heard. If there is any strength Nick Sirianni has,
it's listening.
It is listening, and that is true about Kevin Petullo. So do I think... do I think AJ sits at home and marvels at the offensive scheme? Like, no. But do I think if he was upset about something, he would take to Twitter because of Nick and Petullo? No. I think he would talk to them about it. So the fact that he tweeted this to me, I don't think he would take a shot at the coaches subliminally through Twitter.
Especially if the point is, if you're not being heard.
Correct. Where that's Nick number. I mean, we talk to players all the time. I'm in the locker room. We all do shows with them. They all talk about how, Nick has an open door policy.
Yep.
And outside of that, I know they have a good relationship.
So who's he talking to?
That's the question, isn't it?
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's about Jalen.
Okay.
I think it's about Jalen.
So, you know, when we started the show today, I just said,
I don't have anything other than just you.
That's just my opinion.
Jalen. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Based on everything you know, in just an informed guess based on everything you know.
Brandon Graham talked about this last year. I feel like sometimes we, not you guys, but we all beat around the bush here. Brandon said it.
That they don't talk to each other.
That they're not in a good space.
Yeah.
Well, just to be fair to fans. They're different than us, right?
Yeah.
But fans that may think he's frustrated with how he's being used in the offense. There's a lot of talk as to whether or not the schemes is the issue, but you're saying you don't think that's the problem at all.
My guess or my analysis of it would be, I guess, is I think AJ wants, when the plays for him are called, he wants them maximized. He wants them ran correctly.
Okay.
AJ is there throughout the week of practice. He knows throughout the week they are putting plays in the playbook for AJ Brown. He's in the huddle when the play is called. Like, he knows when a play is called, he's the first read on that play. So do I think AJ wishes he touched the ball as much as Saquon? Of course. But I have never once got any hint of jealousy or anger from AJ towards how they use Saquon. Him or Devontae. Do I think they got the ball more? Of course. But I also think they recognize Saquon is a great player who helps the team. I just think they want, when it's their turn, for the ball to be on time and to be accurate and to have the play work. And it's not always Jalen. Sometimes the protection breaks down. But like, if you're AJ and you know you're not going to get 17 targets a game or, you know, whatever, when you're in the huddle and you hear the play and you're sprinting down the field in 105 degree heat and you're like, this is my chance, and the ball doesn't come, I would be frustrated about that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, listen, I think most of us agree that he has every right to be frustrated.
But
I think most of us agree with that.
A little maybe caveat there, like nuance, would be I think there's a discussion that AJ cares about his numbers more than winning. And I think that's tough to decipher. But what I just think he wants the plays run correctly when it's his turn. I don't think he's asking for 10 more plays a game. And I think that's an important distinction, because when people talk about AJ, it's often he wants the ball more and more and more. I'm sure he does. But I also think it's just about when he complains about the passing game, he knows when it's not going correctly because he's the one that's supposed to get the ball.
Well, yeah, and he thinks correctly, those two things shouldn't be mutually exclusive. Him getting catches and them winning should not be two things that
not one or the other.
I think they're like, you know, 7-1 when he has over 100 yards. Like, they are, this is not Jahan Dotson or somebody complaining about not getting the ball.
Jahan Dotson catching a straight.
Yeah, I didn't mean to, you know, rough week for Penn State. So.
He isn't saying, I want the ball at the expense of winning, and I don't think he believes that either, and I think it is totally fair for a player of his caliber to think, I should be a bigger part of the winning. I think we all agree with that. But I think we all agree that when he does these things publicly, they put the team in a bad situation, and it puts his teammates in a bad situation.
So I think this time is different than the other times.
Why?
Because in the past, when there's been these things, I've always gotten the sense that the team was behind him on it. Right? Like his...
When you say the team, do you mean
like
the...
Yeah, like players, right? Like, I've never once had a player in the locker room be like, oh, look at him making it about himself. Or like, you know, here's AJ making it about himself again. Like, the players in the locker room like AJ. And I think they often believe when AJ talks and a story comes out of it, that it is more the media than AJ, if that makes sense. Now, whatever, I'm just letting you know, like...
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's easy to blame the media.
Correct. Yeah. But the point I'm making is, I've never gotten the sense in the building they're tired of AJ's act, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's a good teammate.
Correct,
yeah,
right? So the difference this time is, he did it on his... Like, this was him. This was not his words being misinterpreted. This was not someone looking for a problem. Like, AJ didn't talk in the locker room. I was down there. It didn't feel like a big story when he didn't talk. Like, if he would have just not talked, I think it would be noteworthy and people would have brought it up. But it was the tweet he sent out on his own that turned this into a firestorm, right?
Yes.
So I think that's what's different about this time is there's no one to blame but AJ for this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, this isn't the media speculating. We're just reacting to...
Sure. Yeah.
His action.
And by the way, if everybody was wrong, just like he started it on Twitter, he could have cleared it up real quick. He could have cleared it up real quick if he wanted to clear it up.
He has to know this isn't a Philadelphia local story. This is a national story.
Right. Yeah. And I think the team agrees with him a lot of the time. Like, when AJ says the passing game's not good enough, I don't think people sit up in the NovaCare and go like, oh, here goes AJ spouting off again. I think they agree. Like, the passing game is not always living up to its potential.
But I don't think that's what the issue is. I think the fact that he's voicing it publicly, this is what we're talking about. We're
100%,
talking about this situation
now. Well, I'm saying that's why I think this time's different, because in the past, when like he made the passing game comment last year, I think people agreed. Like, the passing game wasn't... This time, he's made it a story on his own. It was not an interview that did it. And I think that's an important distinction on how they'll view it.
So...
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
No, I see what you said. I just wanted to make the distinction that this is AJ who's voicing his opinion about the situation.
Nobody tricked him into a question. Like,
He decided to do this.
So when we opened the show, because I've been thinking about this since yesterday, and I just got to the point where I thought, I just don't see a way out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't see, he is not going to get the ball as much as he wants to. And at this point, I almost think the overcompensation to get him where he would feel comfortable. Because remember, a week ago, he got the ball plenty, and this was one week where he didn't, and all of a sudden we're back in the same place. I don't think he's going to get the ball as much as he wants to. I also don't think he's going to stop talking about it. And it gets to a point where there are diminishing returns to his talent for the overall team. This is the NFL. It's not the NBA, where one player makes a difference between you being good and not being good. I agree. They're much better with their record with AJ on the field as opposed to off the field is much better. But it hasn't always come with all of this. And I just, when I'm looking ahead, I'm trying to figure out a path to it being, and I also think, and Ike brought this up, is it's not fair to Jalen
for sure
to drop back every time and have in his mind, if I don't throw it here, if that's not the right play. It's not fair to Coach Petullo. It's not fair to Sirianni, any of that. So I guess that is a long way of saying, if you were to guess where this ends up, where does it end up?
I mean, it's a great question. Like, I've been thinking about this almost nonstop since the tweet. I saw the Twitter poll, and there's something about the simplicity of the question that makes it hard to answer, right? Because I think it's a layered situation. I mean, I think AJ could play on the Eagles for the next 4 years or whatever amount of year you want to pick, and it would be mostly fine. Like, we would probably deal with this once or twice a year. Like, it would come up. But they've still won with him. Like, it's not like AJ just decided to be frustrated last game. Like, he's, I'm sure all of last year wishes he got the ball more, right? I think this year there's probably a sense of, oh my God, like it's
this is never going to change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think last year him and Devontae could probably say, hey man, Saquon's on a historic pace. We're winning. Like then you come into this year and it's like, again, you know, like maybe this is what it's just going to be like. So from that element, like I don't know if AJ will want to be here. I can, like AJ has not told me if he is happy or not, but just being around him, he seems happy when he talks to his teammates. Like he's not in the, it's not like a dark cloud over his head when he walks in the locker room. Like he's smiling, he's joking and all those things. Now, when he talks to the media, I do sense a different AJ this year than last year. He seems a little more like, I don't know if despondent's the right word, but just a little kind of
no, despondent's the right word.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like he gets asked all the time about the passing game. So can it work long term? Yes. But I don't know if AJ wants it long term.
There's no way it can work long term if his issue is getting the football with regularity. You know, and I know, as much as we both like Jalen and they win, he plays football the way that he plays football.
Agreed.
That's not going to change. I was hoping that it would this year. I'm asking for 240 yards passing. Give me the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game. We're going to lighten the load on Saquon. We're going to unleash AJ and Devontae this year. Jalen's going to have an MVP season. We got the same offense we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same offense where the passing game ranked 29th in the league. Now, the winning part of it is okay in the grand scheme of things. But if you're talking about a receiver being happy playing in a run-based offense where he gets 5 targets maybe a game and he's catching 3 or 4 balls a game and every once in a while he gets an 8-catch game for 100 yards, he clearly isn't going to be happy with that as it stands right now. Now, maybe they sit down, he has a come-to-Jesus moment, no pun intended, and he's okay playing in this style of offense because they win a lot of football games. But that's going to be up to AJ to decide, I'm okay with not having these many targets.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't get the targets and you display your frustration, you're saying you're not okay with it. And I just don't know how that part's going to change. Like, he's never going to be a guy who gets 10 targets every game and catches enough balls. I don't know what's going to make him happy as far as how many catches he should get or how involved in the offense he should be. Only he should know. But I do know this. The coaches are trying to win games, right? Jalen's trying to win games. Mm-hmm. It's unfair to him as a quarterback to have to sit back there and worry about how many times do I got to throw him the ball that he's happy enough versus am I doing my job as the quarterback and trying to win a football game? That's unfair to a quarterback to have to go through.
I agree. And the other part of this is, and when AJ doesn't say what it is, he leaves it a room for speculation.
Yes.
Right? So, like, the other part of this is, if him and Jalen are not on good terms, that could also just be simple enough to make this be a divorce, right? Like, when AJ first got here, there were pictures of them working out together. There was the the FaceTime call when he first got traded here. Yeah. Like, they would celebrate together all the time. You don't really see as much of that anymore. So while you're right about the targets, and that is a big part of it, if the core issue is the quarterback and the wide receiver don't get along, like Brandon Graham said last year, then maybe that's just enough too. Like, maybe that's part of the frustration. Maybe if he was best friends with the quarterback, these targets aren't as big of a deal. If the errant throws are as big of a deal. But if you have, you know, a perceived issue with somebody and then they're struggling, like, that just makes it harder. So that's where I don't, like, friendships are complicated things. Like,
sure.
I can't speak to whether or not they are friends, whether or not they will ever be best friends. Like, I have no idea.
And let me tell
but
you,
that's a key part of it to me.
It seemingly is. Listen, I don't know the extent of their relationship. I don't know. This is a working relationship, meaning they work together. I don't know how close you had to be off the field. Mm-hmm. You know, Jalen has his own interest. AJ has his own interest. You know, maybe he and Devontae are a lot closer. Doesn't seem like Jalen does a whole lot with a lot of the guys off the field, you know, maybe sparingly, but it doesn't seem like AJ is more around guys.
So just quickly, like, I think a difference here is, so let's use the Sixers with Joel and Ben Simmons, because that was a big thing.
I said that earlier.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But the difference is, we never were led to believe they were best friends.
Yes.
Like, when Jalen and AJ got here, it was, he's here because of Jalen. Look at the FaceTime call. They're working out together. The, you know, godfather of his
kid.
Sure. So the difference is that when it's viewed that way, and now it's not, like, or it's not viewed that way anymore, that is different than, well, you don't have to be best friends to be together, like, or to be teammates. You just wonder how that relationship is.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
By the way, I think we're all beating around. None of us know the specifics. That there's not much of a friendship there. It's crazy. Here's what I would say. Mm-hmm. If I left the show one day, if we were under the same microscope that the Eagles were, and I tweeted something that implied that I was not getting enough time on the air and implied that Ike was the problem, and I had 48 hours of everyone blaming Ike for the reason I was unhappy, and I didn't say anything about, of course I would say something about it.
Yes.
If they had a relationship, and AJ sees what happens when he says things like that, that it goes to Jalen, if there was a relationship there, he would stop it. Again, I don't know personally, but I can just tell you, in generally how friends operate, there is no way that there is a close relationship there if every time he does this, the world comes down on him talking about Jalen and he never says that it's not.
Right.
Listen, you know?
And I understand that. I'm trying to not go down that path only because, A, it may be our fault that we overestimated how close they were.
Yes. Maybe. Yeah,
that's on us for assuming.
For sure.
Because quite frankly, other than the FaceTime call, there hasn't been a whole lot else after 2022.
There's not a dinners.
Where there's a bunch of Jalen and AJ buddying around and palling around. Like, so I don't know how close guys are. I played with guys 7, 8, 9 years, and I was close with some. But I was teammates with, I loved all my teammates, but I wasn't as close with some as I am with others. So I'm not even making as big of a deal of that unless there's something there that we don't know about. And that's where I would imagine the Eagles would need to get to the root of that situation. If there's something else there that can't be fixed because it's something personal. I'm looking at everything from a football standpoint.
Yeah, so
that's the way I'm looking at everything from a football standpoint. Like, this is all about football with me.
And honestly, like, the AJ and Jalen thing is, like, my least favorite thing to talk about. Because it's complicated. Like, it's a friendship, right?
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you.
I just don't know enough about it to actually speak about it.
Agreed. The only reason I bring it up is because, and I would I would advise AJ on this if he, for every reason, decided, you know, to ask me. Like, I'd be a little careful what you wish for if you're AJ. Like, the idea of going to a new team is all fun and exciting and getting all these targets until you're in Cincinnati and Joe Burrow's hurt, right? And Jake Browning is throwing to you. Like, AJ has had a ton of success here.
Yeah.
Let's not act like he's getting 700 yards a year and three.
Yeah.
Like, he's been an All-Pro here. He's won a Super Bowl here. He's got paid big-time money here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he wants out or not, but if like the discussion's going to be, well, AJ just wants targets instead of winning, I would advise AJ, like, it sounds good until you're somewhere else. The Eagles are one of the best franchises in the league. Like, let's not act like you're not in a good spot.
First of all, I don't think he wants targets instead of winning. That's a simplistic way of describing it. He wants to be in a situation where he can contribute to winning.
Correct.
And he's being used. He wants to win. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to be more of a part of the winning, which I can understand. But to your point, going somewhere else may not lead you to the winning level that you're attaining here, but I don't know if he's going to be unhappy with that if he's a bigger part of another program. I don't think anybody wants AJ traded, but we have to figure out whether or not AJ is happy here.
Right.
That's really what it boils down to, and you have to be happy with your role on the team.
And like, let's expound, like, move, like, expound this bigger than AJ. They cannot be successful if key players on the team are in a bad mood all year. Like, we, you know,
I totally agree.
2023, I hear a lot of people like, you know, well, it can't be 2023 because the defense is better. And that's true. The defense is better. And if they had this defense in 2023, maybe they don't lose to Seattle. Maybe they don't lose to the Cardinals. And that changes things. But when I think of 2023, we all live through it. I don't think of the main issues as being like, you know, personnel and stuff. I think of it as they were just a miserable group of guys. And to keep, you know, Brandon, because he said it too, like, he said on the air that year, you know, we don't have to be friends, we have to be coworkers. Like, that's not a way to win. And when I was around the team last year, for the most part, because I can't speak to every relationship, they seemed happy, they were having fun. It was like,
this is a happy team, man.
I think so too, but the point I'm making is, like, we're talking about if one of the key players on the team is happy, like, that just
is unhappy.
We're talking about if he is happy. But,
right.
Like, that would be my concern with this. My concern would be, is this just going to be an ugly year? And I don't know if it will or won't be, but that's another part outside of AJ's personal interests here. From a team perspective, they're not going to be successful if they're dealing with unhappy players and drama all year.
They can't deal with this every other week.
No.
Yeah, this can't be a pop-up every two games or something,
right,
where we're talking about everybody's not happy and then everybody's looking at the quarterback. Right? Like, he's the guy. We're all like, oh, well, who is it? Well, now everybody's going to speculate that it's Jalen that he's unhappy with.
Well, and so yesterday, like, Michael Irvin, I forget what show he was on, he's talking about Dak versus Jalen. And he goes, well, how am I supposed to believe Jalen's better than Dak when A.J. Brown would probably prefer Dak over Jalen? Like, this is the stuff that this leads to. So to your point about being unfair towards Jalen, I agree with that. Like, Jalen already deals with enough in the media in terms of, like, people questioning his talent and his accomplishments. And when it is perceived that AJ is mad at Jalen because of the passing game, it adds to the ammunition for people that don't already like or don't think Jalen is that good.
215-592-9494. We'll get to your calls next.
I'll tell you who's happy. Rod Lakin's happy.
Listen.
Well,
send him a gift basket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know someone else that's happy too. Yeah,
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Why would he be upset?
Yeah.
Oh God, would you stop? Listen, you're on the griddle Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah,
I know. Screw the Phillies. There's only one team in town. I know.
When they're down 1-0, he'll be in here on Monday.
Wow.
Everyone hates the Phillies. I know.
Go put on shorts.
They are on.
All right. Coming up next, Chris Long had some thoughts on what is going on with the Eagles offense. And we'll play something interesting. Now, Jordan Mailata joins us at 4, but he said something interesting about something that he thinks the offense needs to be better last night on the Jordan Mailata Show. We'll get to that as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, he's just a friend.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You
Elliot
like the,
Short Parks joining us.
The remake of this song better than the original by Mario.
I never heard the remake.
Wow, it was a classic in my childhood.
Oh.
I tell you no.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you heard it?
Probably.
Probably.
It
wasn't memorable,
yeah. Yeah, it wasn't better than the original.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I'm an original guy. 215-592-9494. CJ in Texas, you're on WIP. What's up, CJ?
What's good, gents? Y'all got a full house today, huh?
What up, CJ? It's good to hear from you, man.
What's up, CJ?
What's good? Hey, and that version is the best version, even though I know you rolled me in song in the car before.
Well, I was going to say, when I saw CJ in Texas, I put on Southside by Ashanti and Lloyd, and Mario is a similar version to that, I guess.
Nah, you should be playing Southside, the Texas version, that's what I'm saying. Hey, to kind of preface off what I want to say, I need to get some Ike juice going.
Drinking that Ike juice. Don't do that very much anymore.
Yeah. Good job by Ben with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right. So
that's why we don't play it.
We've been hearing everybody talk about the four wins, just take the four wins, which I love. Like, hey, we want to get stacked all the wins we can. But those four wins and the way the passing game has been going, it's been one of those things where it's like people got on beer goggles. They're drunk with it. They're like, you're telling me I'm seeing something I'm not seeing.
I agree with you.
So the same thing with us and people who think like me when it comes to A.J. Brown, I think it can work out. So I'm going to have my beer goggles on and be like, hey, I've been a fan long enough to know what it's been like when we ain't had receivers.
Yeah.
Pinkston. I hate to throw shots. So I don't know. I ain't going to say no more names.
Ike's teammate.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. My bad.
James Ike, Thrash.
Hank Baskin wasn't your teammate.
I didn't do this. Gracious, man. But we have been begging for receivers. We have been begging for somebody other than Westbrook to catch it out the backfield. You know what I'm saying? So pardon me if I want us to have competent balance. Now, Ike, you said something about would he want to be like it is with the Ravens. Pardon me, but Jackson threw for 4,000 yards last year, 3,800 year before that. So I'm pretty sure if we
what did his number one receiver have?
But I guarantee you, the running back still ran for 1,900, and you threw for 4,100.
I think Zay Flowers barely had over 1,000 yards.
He had 74 catches for 1,000 yards.
Yeah,
four touchdowns.
Was AJ Brown. So you mean to tell me that we can get Jalen, or not just Jalen, if you can get the coach to balance the offense out and throw the ball around and just have a complete, competent-looking offense, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have these problems. See, what they telling A.J. Brown to do is, hey.
But, C.J., how long are we gonna make pretend?
Jalen's not going to change yet. Jalen's going to be Jalen. Jalen's not
but
Lamar.
It ain't just about Jalen, because we've seen it happen. What I'm saying is, y'all asking A.J. Brown – we're saying, hey, we're going to invite some chicks over.
Mm-hmm.
We invite chicks over, and I'm looking at the girl that's left for me, and y'all tell me, hey, it'll be all right. No, y'all telling me to get drunk.
It'll be all right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, put those beer goggles on, and it will be all right.
Spike and Jack know what I'm talking about, because they talk about the adult people on the
show. Look, I saw it on a billboard. I saw it on a billboard. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just saying,
y'all were quick to respond. Yeah, they looked at me like I should know.
I hit the drops.
I'm hesitant to ask what this is about.
No. Yeah. Yoshi mentioned Alexis Texas. I had heard of her. Ike hadn't. She's an adult film star.
There's a big billboard right on 95.
Yeah. Everybody knows what this billboard is.
Yeah, well, I pass it driving home.
Yeah, Elliot turns around and looks at it twice.
Yeah.
Was it a Bluetooth
infomercial?
All right.
Thank you for the call, CJ. But by the way, he said something there that I totally agree with. The just 4-0, be happy with that is not. I'm sort of confused as to who we were supposed to be as Eagles fans.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I spent years around Yankees fans. Do you think that they were ever happy with regular season wins? Never. Patriots fans are never happy with that. They have one standard. They cared about one thing. Is the team good enough to win a championship? That's it. And if you look at the four wins and you say, that is the only standard it should be judged by. It should be the team I saw a team that is good enough to win the Super Bowl. I thought that's who we were now. I thought we were the gold standard franchise. We're an elite franchise. We're talking about being a dynasty. And everyone thinks, oh, we just won the Super Bowl last year. I don't care. That was last year. If we're supposed to be the franchise in the NFL, then the standard is a Super Bowl this year. That is the way those other franchises operate. You have and I'll bring up the Yankees again because they've won, 27 championships. They want the manager fired.
Nonsense 09,
correct. They won the manager fired. They won the general manager fired. Aaron Judge, Nick Costos came on here, called him a loser.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking Aaron Judge in a heartbeat.
Yeah, he's one of the best hitters of our lifetime. So the wins are important, but
I trade half this Phillies team.
Yeah,
Aaron
Judge. It's Red October.
What's his big moment?
It's Red October.
My bad. I just got caught up in that.
Yeah, it's Red October.
Big
yeah.
drop in the World
yeah,
Series.
Yeah, he didn't have
year.
A home run 3 years ago. You're right.
I was about to say.
Yeah. So
I mostly agree with what you're saying. I think so they have to play better. I do think they're playing better than CJ, and maybe you are insinuating.
So
they've played four hard teams. The teams that teams they've beaten are 7-2, and they haven't played the Eagles. Like so, I agree
good.
They've
pretty
not.
Good knowledge there.
Thank you. I agree that they have not played at their best, and I don't think they've played to their potential. But there's not many teams you can point to that are playing better.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you there. I said the same thing yesterday, but I also don't care that they're better than the Commanders.
No, I get that. Yes. But also then that's the question of what's most important. Like, do we want them to be the best version of themselves, or do they just have to be the best team this year? You know, so I don't know the answer. And also I think there's a
Until this year is over, they need to be the best version of themselves.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Well, and I also think there's a perception that they're like on thin ice because of how they're playing. Like they're not, you know, this could crack at any moment. And it could. Like if they're unhappy in the building, like who knows? But I actually view it a different way that every time they win, like the ice gets thicker. Like the collapse in 2023, they had so many chances to recover from that because they kept winning early on in the season. So as long as they're still winning, you know, I think it matters how they play. I enjoy the roller coaster of each week, but they really only just have to play their best football like in the playoffs.
So yes, but here's what they have to do in order to get to that point. Home field advantage matters.
For sure.
The record in the season does matter. They just don't roll out the football and they're just going to go win games.
Agreed.
There has to be a way to get AJ more involved so that he's happy in the offense. Would y'all agree with that? Like that? If we're talking about.
I would think so.
If we're talking about optimizing this team's potential, right? And being the best they can be, he has to be on board with it.
Yes.
This isn't this thing this week. This is not being on board.
Agreed.
This is separation. So at some point, they got to come together, sit him down, and he's going to have to be okay with the role that he has on the team. They're going to have to do a better job of getting the ball, not just the coaches with your play design, but Jalen, getting him the football. That way you keep the team happy. The rest of the guys on the team are seemingly happy.
Yes.
Right? So if you don't want a force of this magnitude starting to divide, right? Because what happens is that someone, it's like having a family dispute. You may say, oh, I'm staying out of it. I'm staying out of it. It's family. They'll work it out. If it goes on long enough, you're going to find yourself on one side or the other.
Well, you're going to have to pick a side.
Yeah, of the family member.
Yeah, so I agree with everything you just said. The only thing that I think based off that is I think they are doing everything they can to get AJ the ball. I agree, like, they have to get AJ the ball. I think they're doing everything they can. The moment, to me, where it's breaking down is when the ball leaves Jalen's hand. And that's what they can't control. Like, they can put in plays all week. Remember the Chiefs game, first play of the game. Should have been a 70-yard touchdown, but the blocks are missed and it doesn't work. So I don't think this is a, let's sit down and figure out how to get AJ more involved. This is like a praying the execution on the field works type of thing.
Okay.
Right? I mean, do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. Yeah. I agree with you that I believe there are plays drawn up where AJ is the primary target on there and the execution isn't happening.
Right. Like, what do we think? Kevin Petullo got the job and was like, I know how I'll become a head coach. I'll have AJ run completely different routes than he has in the past. I won't get him the ball. Like, and that'll be my road to success.
I agree with that. I think it has less to do with the coaching part of it.
Why I don't think the tweet was about the coaches.
Right. I'll agree with you on that. What I'm saying is, though, this isn't, to me, something that Jalen needs to feel he needs to fix on his own. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like if you want him to feel like it's not him, but you all want to get the same thing accomplished, that means it has to come together.
That's a good point.
As if we're all trying to get this thing accomplished. Not saying that they haven't been doing it. I'm just saying as it pertains to moving past this situation where AJ tweeted something out after the game. When they sit down and talk with AJ, I hope it is something where it's a meeting of the minds. And it's like, I got you, bro. Like, listen, I know you want to get the ball. I got you. I got you. And I've heard too many quarterbacks talk about how they would go up to those star wide receivers and reassure them, I got you. Hang in there with me. I got you. I missed you on that one. I got you. Hang in there with me. Now, I don't know how much of that Jalen does. To where you got to sort of soothe and massage guys' ego. That's part of being a quarterback.
Well, and that's why I think on a surface level, their relationship does matter.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because
Because Jalen has to be invested in AJ and how AJ feels.
And we do see clips of Jalen on the sideline going up to people. Like, they do put those out there.
Yep.
I mean, I just haven't seen them of AJ. Like, maybe they're just not putting them out there, but.
Well,
so,
believe me, if they exist, they would.
Yeah, right. People would be pointing at them.
AJ thing, and then we can move on. Yeah. But so AJ presumably is going to talk tomorrow. Like, we don't know, but I would assume.
Just in the locker room.
In the locker room, yeah.
Same time as Jalen's press conference?
Well, that'll be interesting. But I'll be at AJ's locker. I can tell you that much.
Well, we know you'll be there.
Yeah, front and center. But we'll see what he says. But if he comes out and says, like, it was about the media or whatever, that would be disappointing. Like, to your point, he knows what the reaction to this has been, and he's allowed the reaction to sit out there for 2 days. So if tomorrow he tries to paint it as it's not about anybody, it's not like, you know what the reaction's been. You know what you did caused. So I think tomorrow he does owe us some answers on how he truly feels.
But he cannot say it's about someone in particular.
I agree with
that. He cannot do that. So he can stick to his guns and say it's not about anybody in particular. That would be the advice I would give.
That's
going to create more of an issue.
Agreed.
If it's the quarterback, the coordinators, or what have you, like, that's where we can't expect him to be brutally honest. If it happens,
I just think there's a world
we'll
where he says,
right here.
Yeah, I just think there's a world where he says it's about the media because if you know I'm not listened to, like, I shrug my shoulders and walk out. And if it's about the media, he should have clarified that 48 hours. I don't think it is either, but I'm getting ahead of this if he says it tomorrow.
Let me get ahead of it too. Everybody down there, it ain't about the media. This ain't about us.
I agree.
This ain't about us.
He better not say it's about the media.
That's the
point. They may wish we had stopped talking about it.
Yes.
But it's not about us.
And us specifically, by the way. Like, it's the national media. Yes. Like, yeah.
Yes, I meant us. The evil WIP.
Well, the best
media
thing,
guys.
The best thing he can do, honestly, would be to take it on himself. He could say, it was about me. I didn't play as well as I wanted to. The offense isn't as good as I want it to be. I get frustrated. That would be...
If you were him, would you just pray you have a good game against the Broncos and wait till then?
Oh, as far as talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. No. Well,
I don't like. Obviously, I hope that's not the route he takes. But if he's not in the locker room all week,
it's not good for what we do. But but if he's not ready from a mind state to address this, and he feels he may say something because he doesn't want to play the mental gymnastics game of trying not to step on anybody's toes. Yeah, I would wait till I go out and have a big game Sunday and speak after the game.
Because then it's one question. It's how about the tweet last week? I was in a bad mood, but hey, we got it back on track today. But the tough thing is to look ahead. The Broncos are one of the best pass defenses in the NFL.
He's going to get Patrick Surtain.
He's going to get Patrick Surtain all game. So to what you've been saying, both you guys, about trying to force it to him, talk about a terrible week to feel like you got to force it to AJ.
Yeah.
No, we can't do that this week.
There was
force that thing to Devontae.
Yeah, Devontae's big game. Then he'll be quoting scripture afterwards.
Yeah. So, when we did the Jordan Mailata show last night, he mentioned an issue with the offense that I haven't heard anybody mention before. Yeah. He seemed like he was doing it, like he went in thinking that he wanted to talk about it. Here's what he said is an offensive issue that we haven't discussed yet.
We just don't have enough urgency. So, this week, that is my... that's going to be my emphasis as a leader on this team, is especially for the O-line, because it starts with us, is that we need to break that huddle faster. Shoot, don't care if we don't even get the play. Let's just get to the line, and Jalen can tell us the play while we're at the line. Mm-hmm. Let's just get set.
Was that an issue last year, or is this like something you're just now, like a new thing you've had to deal with?
I think it wasn't an issue last year. I think it could have used a lot more work last year that we could have made it an emphasis, which we were. Mm-hmm. I just think this year we kind of slacking off, and we got to pick up that urgency just so we can play free, man. I'm tired of breaking the clock, and we have no seconds to make calls.
So what he was saying was, and the urgency, if you missed the context, was getting into the huddle quicker so you can get the call quicker so you can line up quicker. Now, I haven't noticed this when I was watching, but he mentioned we're lining up with 14 seconds and that's not nearly enough. Mm-hmm. So it is getting back to the huddle quicker, get Jalen calling the play quicker so they can get to the line quicker. I hadn't thought about that. When we talked to him about four, I kind of want to know what the number is he's thinking about, honestly. At what point during the play clock do you want to be lined up? And then, I can imagine having as much time on the line, to diagnose what the defense is doing as possible is probably what's best for them.
And then also... is the issue guys aren't getting back to the huddle in time, or is the play call not, like, is the issue?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is the issue with the call not coming in fast enough?
Right, so they're in the huddle waiting for the play call.
Yeah.
I thought he said something about guys running back to the huddle.
Yes, I thought it was about getting back to the huddle.
Because
he
used the word urgency, right?
Like, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. These receivers are running routes.
Right? Yes.
They run 20, 30 yards down the field. It's easy for Jordan to get back to the huddle from 5 yards than it is AJ, who just ran. Well, he didn't run 30 yards.
Well, I was going to say, AJ and Devontae run 40 yards with the ball sailing over their head. They're probably not sprinting back to find out the run blocking scheme for the next play.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Speaking of we've talked so much about the passing, the running game has not been good this year. And Saquon is averaging 3 yards a carry, which is crazy. Landon Dickerson, take it for whatever you want. His Pro Football Focus scores have not been very good this year. Could he be hurting the team by playing hurt? Do we know anything about his physical, like where he is physically, if he's getting better, because I think that's going to be a big, especially if they have to run inside. We're talking about them more running inside because they're trying to cut off the edges for Saquon. I just wonder where Landon is physically.
Yeah, so Landon's not been around a ton in the locker room this year. I feel like the most time I've spent with Landon was with you on the players lounge.
Yeah.
So I think physically, he's always been somebody that looks like he's kind of laboring a little bit.
Yeah,
like
he gets up slow.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's hard to tell. I feel like because of the Mailata show and the Players Lounge, I've spent a ton of time around offensive linemen recently, and they keep telling me it's the execution up front. So I tend to believe them, but, you brought up some Saquon stats, and, like, he's last in the league right now in average yards after contact. He is, there's a bunch of stats. He's last in forced missed tackles or, like, near the bottom five. I mean, there are stats that indicate it is Saquon more than maybe our eyes tell us. Because when I watch Saquon, he doesn't look different to me. And maybe I'm biased because I saw him in training camp and other people didn't. But he looked unbelievable in training camp. Like, he was running and like he looked great. But it is what it is. It can't all be the blocking. And the numbers the numbers also indicate once he's getting hit. And I know all hits aren't the same. Like, another running back could have one guy where Saquon has two. Like, but he's not breaking the tackles he used to break last year. Statistically. So I tend to believe it's the offensive line, but the longer it goes on, maybe we're just being naive to the fact that we're just witnessing what happens to all running backs after they have those touches.
Well, we said this. We said this all offseason. It's no secret there. I just also realized that it was times, a lot of times, he didn't get touched until he was past the line
for
of scrimmage.
Sure. Yeah.
So the holes were bigger for him last year.
Mm-hmm. I thought Sunday, it was the first time not being able to run the ball really hurt them. Mm-hmm. Like, the first three games, they were able to win and move the ball to an extent. They had to try to ice that game away Sunday, and they've been so good at it in the past. You think about the Ravens game, like a 12-minute drive in the fourth quarter. Those possessions they had on the second half were like 2 minutes, 52 mm-hmm. seconds, a minute and a half. And the reason that's happening is because you're not getting good yardage on first and second down because you can't run the ball, and then you have to throw it on third, so the clock stops.
And by the way, this is where the passing game
can help.
It's supposed to help.
Agreed.
Like, Saquon coming off of the year he had last year shouldn't be second in the league in carries. I mean, he's three carries.
That's a good point. Yeah.
He's three carries behind Josh Jacobs, who also had a great year last year. Oh, who, by the way, is also averaging 3 yards a carry.
And by the way, it's not like they've had huge leads. Like, let's not act like they're
playing. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So they're running the ball in like even situations.
Yeah.
Well,
and they're using him too much.
Well, and the other pass game, and I mentioned this to Jordan yesterday, Saquon is facing 8-man boxes way more than he did last year. The numbers show it. It was 23% of his rushes last year. It's 37% this year. Mm-hmm. That's a big jump.
That's a big jump.
You know, that's a big jump. And that is when it comes back to the pass game. Why haven't they been able to throw the ball more effectively?
And I obviously execution matters, but this was my concern with the Kevin Petullo hire, is that, like, is there going to be a fresh idea if this isn't working after 4 or 5 weeks? Like, you can't be one block away for 17 weeks. Like, sooner or later, you got to try something else. If that block's not happening, then you got to stop running the play where you can't get that block. And so that, you know, we'll see if the offense can turn around. But Petullo and Nick, like, this is the challenge for the coaching staff, too, is having a counterpunch to what has been a clear adjustment from the other defenses.
The players have to be better also.
100%.
They just do. Like,
100%.
They can draw up the schemes, but it's the players that make the schemes go. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's true, and if Saquon has lost a step or whatever, and he's not the same as he was last year, then guess what? We can't lean on him as frequently as we did last year. The offense can't be based around Saquon. That's why you got $60 million tied up in your receivers and tight ends out there in a $55 million quarterback. We should be able to throw the ball.
And by the way,
we should be able to throw the ball.
We shouldn't have two halves in consecutive games where we have negative
net passes. It's crazy how inconsistent they've been. Yeah. Like, unbelievable one half. But this is maybe an offseason topic. Like, whatever benefits they maybe feel they got from that Saquon extension, like, he's not, like, the giving that dude $35 million is not looking great 4 weeks into
this. Listen, don't start bad mouthing Saquon.
I'm not bad mouthing Saquon, but I'm just
saying. This show?
Saquon deserved every penny he
I
got.
I agree with that, but
the extra money, we won the Super Bowl, the guy sacrificed his body.
I agree, and it was a nice thank you check, but you just don't see Jeffrey do it often, is the point.
Well, he deserved it.
He did, but.
They should have done what the Clippers did. They should have had somebody else give him the money.
Dude,
after
by the way,
he
you
retires.
Want to talk about, like, hopefully Pablo never comes after the Eagles.
Yes.
Like, talk about
yes.
relentless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know
come
what?
Come after the Phillies, though.
Might not.
Yeah, take them down.
Yeah.
Well, the Dodgers will do that.
Might not prove to do anything, by the way. I would bet that the league doesn't do anything to the Clippers.
I agree, because they don't want to open this can of worms where owners doing things behind
them. They want this to go away.
Kwai on it yesterday was electric.
Yeah,
that's a complicated question. He's just like, no.
Yeah. So thank you, Elliot.
Thank you.
You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. Go Birds Daily is a must listen.
Happy National Podcast Day.
Yes. Is it National Podcast
it
Day?
It is.
Oh, happy National Podcast Day, guys.
So download the Go Birds podcast.
Yeah.
I was going to say top two podcasts in the company right here.
Yeah.
High Hopes and Go Birds.
I know. It's like,
only
I know.
Two podcasts only in the company.
Well, now the whole company.
Oh.
Yeah, the whole company.
Sports.
Yeah.
Local
now,
sports
if you were
pod.
To look at Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia and everyone's right, Ricky Sanchez.
Yeah, I mean, we got a top.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
He's the best ever doing it.
sorry.
Did you see the venue?
I know.
Did you see the lottery?
Well, look. Yeah, in all seriousness, it is one of the best podcasts of all time.
There we go.
I don't even
Thank
think
you.
It's a debate.
Thank you. Well, of course, you guys' podcast couldn't fill up a damn.
I know, yeah, it didn't. Yeah.
Lucky you still have the podcast, frankly.
Don't make us bring back Clap Your Hands.
Yeah.
You won't be selling out any more Sixers venues after that.
Yeah. Well,
I forgot about clapping.
You clap your hands. Yeah,
right. Have a nice one.
Elliot came from my throat.
Yeah,
he came
I
from
missed.
My throat.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan Jordan Mailata joins us next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.